Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. I never thought we were going to be doing this show, but here we are. When I use the word retired and Stephen Turner, I never thought they were two would come together, but they have. And he is with us today to kind of close out, at least as far as OTS Media is concerned, 30-plus years of being involved in economic development here in the city of Rock Hill. So you officially have done it. I mean, he walks in and he's got his shorts and his T-shirt on. I don't think I've ever seen you like that, except at one of the activities downtown. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Friday was my last day, so I'm a retired person now.
You're a retired person now. What prompted you to reach this decision? Because you certainly are got a ton of left in you. Your tank is still half full.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it for a while. There were some things I wanted to finish up, and I kept pushing myself to, six more months. Let me do six more months. Let me do six more months. And I did that for two or three years just because things were on the horizon that I wanted to see completed and be a part of. And, I actually made this decision pre-COVID, but certainly given that the idea of retirement was already in my mind, COVID would have flipped the switch, but I actually made the decision earlier. I let the city manager know in February that I would be leaving by mid-year. So nothing in particular, just I'm ready for a change. I'm ready to do something different. I've been doing this for 33 years, and there's never a good time to leave. There's always new projects and opportunities and things on the horizon, but I took the time to complete some stuff and get some stuff close to completion that made this a pretty good time for me to leave.
When you say that you kept pushing it off 6 months here, 6 months there, because they were projects that you wanted to be completed, you never really complete them, do you? With economic development, there's always something popping.
There's always new projects, but, it was 2 years ago this time that we completed the Knowledge Park Action Plan. And so we've been talking about Knowledge Park and working on Knowledge Park for probably 5 years now, but it was never down on paper as to exactly what the goals for Knowledge Park were. And so, I felt real strongly that before I left, we had to fix that. We had to create a plan, put it down on paper, be able to communicate what the goals of Knowledge Park are, hold ourselves accountable for meeting those goals. And so again, in 2018, we completed the Knowledge Park Action Plan. It was adopted by the Board of Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. It was endorsed by City Council. That was a big step that I wanted to take. Once that was completed, there are other projects there that were on the horizon. The three big projects after that I wanted to get to a point of completion were the redevelopment of the Good Motor site, the Exchange project. So that was done earlier this year. That project has, City Council's entered into development agreements with the developer. The developer has closed on the property already, and they'll be starting construction on the Good Motor Company site within the next 30 to 60 days. Bingo. One project done, and we'll be seeing construction on that shortly. Second project I wanted to get to a point of completion was Aspen Business Park out near the Rock Hill Airport. Construction on Aspen will be beginning this fall, so that one got to a point of completion where I could hand that off to somebody else. The third one is the Herald site and senior housing development plan for the Herald site. That one is far along right now, but it's not, you know, city council hasn't approved agreements yet. But it's in an advanced stage of negotiation. So hopefully within the next 2 or 3 months, an agreement will be reached for the redevelopment of the Herald site. So, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, in a perfect world, I would have stayed long enough to see those three projects all the way through to the end. But just as soon as I say, oh, all right, well, I'll do another 6 months, there'll be 2 or 3 other new projects. You know, you just got to call time sometime and say, you know, I can't keep doing this.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. Did you ever envision that the Good Motor Company project, just to talk about that one for a minute, would end up being basically the whole block, all the way from Dave Law Boulevard all the way up to Oakland Avenue?
Yeah, we did.
Did you?
Yeah, we did. I mean, the Good Motors was probably 2/3 of the block. And so, I mean, now it's everything except the corner owned by the Episcopal Church, the parking lot there. But yeah, I mean, that whole block has been a pretty obvious redevelopment area. You know, we didn't have the means to put all that together, but when we found a developer, the developer went and acquired the rest of the property and put it all together into a really exciting development. So,
you know, I'm sure most people in Rock Hill would have no appreciation for what it took to get Rock Hill to where it is right now. I mean, all of this has exploded here in the last few years. But I always remember my Uncle Freddie up in Charlotte, God rest his soul, back in the mid-80s, telling a young Manning Kimball on his way to Rock Hill, basically said, why are you going there? I mean, the textile industry is terrible. The unemployment was high. It was just blah, blah, blah. And that's pretty much when the city of Rock Hill embarked upon this commitment not to let our community go through this again. We were going to transform ourselves, not be dependent on one industry.
Well, that's about the time that I came and started working for the city. I started with the city in 1983. It was in the middle of a recession. Several textile mills had just closed in the last couple of years. Prior to that, the bleachery was still operating, but it was hemorrhaging employees. Rock Hill was a pretty depressing place at that point in time. And so, I remember just driving up and down Cherry Road, and there were just empty storefronts everywhere. It was really a low ebb in Rock Hill's history. And it wasn't a place that I, as a young person in my 20s, was excited to be coming back here, because it just, the community was sort of in desperate straits at that point.
And then I met a lady who, when I got here, by the name of Betty Jo Ray, and she had all those wonderful scarves, and she became our mayor, and she was side by side with a guy by the name of Joe Lanford, who you've known for decades, and they started this thing called Empowering the Vision. Got the community together, say, how do we, you know, what are your thoughts, what are your ideas? Came up with these strategies over 4 or 5 different areas, and started working on them, one by one by one. And it was one step forward, 2 steps back, in most cases, until we just hit this, I guess, right time in history when things were in place to make things happen. About right?
Well, I don't think it's an accident that we are where we are right now. It's you know, we've been working at this for a long, long time. You know, I came back. I left the city from 1996 to 2000. Came back in 2000, and my foremost goal when I came back in 2000, my reason for coming back, was that I knew that the area around the bleachery was, I knew that the area around the bleachery was the city's next big redevelopment project when I left in 1996. It just wasn't the right time to do it. The city was not doing well at that point in time. There was not the leadership in place. It was not, the city was financially struggling at that point in time. But by 2000, that had largely changed. So when I came back, you know, the redevelopment of the Bleachery's area was first and foremost on the list. And so within that first year or two, we developed the first master plans for the Bleachery. We did something called the Old Town Redevelopment Plan that shifted the focus of the community's economic development efforts back to the downtown and the area between downtown and Winthrop. You know, it's taken 20 years now to see all of those plans that we began putting in place in 2001, 2002, 2003. Come to fruition, and there's been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of disappointments, a lot of, you know, delays, recessions happen, just things happen that you can't control, but we have stuck to it, and, you know, we're now seeing the results of 20 years of concerted, unyielding effort coming to fruition.
And I can remember so clearly, there were times where the RHEDC, which basically exists off of land sales, was not doing too well and was living off of a line of credit. But, as you pointed out, the pieces that have been put in place, the plan that was being followed, resulted in new attention being given to the downtown. And speaking of just the downtown, we were all here when we had a roof over downtown. I'll never forget my wife when we first came down here saying, why do they have a roof over this beautiful downtown? Well, it was there. And finally, through the commitment of the city, which you got to give a lot of kudos to, they put their money where their mouth was. That roof came off, and the great big, what was it, five-story building, the bank building at the end of Main Street?
Three-story.
Yep. Came down, opening up Dave Law Boulevard. And then you all went about the process of trying to rebirth the downtown business community.
Yeah. So, you know, it was apparent that that mall was, I think it opened in about 1977. It was a good faith effort by the community to keep retail businesses downtown. If the businesses wanted to be in a mall, then by God, we'd give them a mall in the downtown area. But within 10 years, it was obvious that that was not a strategy that was going to succeed. And so we spent years trying to figure out what to do and to try to build the commitment, the political commitment and the commitment in the business community to take that mall that was, when it came down, it was only 16 or 17 years old, and the decisions to take it down happened several years before that. So when the decision to take the mall down was made, that mall was, you know, 12 or 13 years old. City had spent millions of dollars on it. That was a big deal and big commitment. And to go in and admit that you made a mistake and fix that mistake. So that Main Street reopened in 1996, and it was a ghost town. There's nobody down there, no businesses left down there to speak of. So it's taken many years to recover and to really build a base of businesses, and we're not 100% back there. That challenge is not complete yet. There's still a lot of empty space on Main Street.
But with the projects that we have just referenced, the Good Motor Company project, which is going to have a couple of hundred apartments. You already have the Anderson, which has got, I don't know what the number of apartments there. You got 139 Main. These apartment projects are already done and operating, and they're filled. And then you've got Joe Lanford, who's going to be doing his project, which is a couple hundred more apartments. You would think once those projects are done and bodies are in there, and then, God forbid, when the Herald project is done, the senior living down there, there's going to be enough body count that it's going to cause people in the retail industry to take another look.
Yeah, and again, there's been a tremendous amount of change in downtown already within the last 5 years of new businesses and restaurants. I think more importantly, more people downtown on a regular basis. You go down there on a Saturday afternoon, at least Saturday afternoon pre-COVID, and you would see people on the streets, and that never happened before. You never saw people on the streets. So downtown has turned that corner, and all of these new projects that are coming along are just going to add fuel to the fire.
Well, and the RHEDC has had a role in creating that interest in coming downtown. I mean, you've got people who create events down there. You've got the food trucks that have been down there. You've got movie nights down there. You know, Boo-ha-ha, one of the festivals that we do is all downtown. I mean, all these things have created. And then, of course, the icing on the cake was Fountain Park.
Yep.
I mean, that...
Fountain Park changed people's perceptions of the downtown more than anything else that's ever happened down there in the last 50 years. People saw something new, saw something that, you know, a place to bring their families. I mean, it just changed people. People up until that time had thought about downtown as a place of old buildings and struggling businesses, and all of a sudden you saw something new and exciting in the downtown. And it changed a lot.
You know, that's another project that just didn't happen. I remember clearly the RHEDC had been considering some ideas for how that parking lot could be used for some kind of residential and some business sector. And I don't think anybody was totally wild about it, but we were looking at trying to find something to do with that block. And the plans or the ideas were kind of sprinkled around the community. What do you think? And they went over across the street to Comporium, and Comporium took a look at them, and I don't know, several months later said, you know what, I think we can do better. And they came back with this vision, you know, for a park, and committed themselves to put the actual fountain in there. And the city was able to use its tax district downtown to create the park itself, which
well,
is amazing.
I think what's important there was, I mean, people go down there now and they see the park, and that's visually how you perceive that area as the green space and the fountain and the park. But what's truly important about that is that project is an economic development project. Every piece of property surrounding Fountain Park, with the exception of the Comporium headquarters and First Presbyterian Church, is an economic development site. And so Comporium's just torn down two buildings on Main Street where there are plans for a hotel in the future and probably maybe a residential building there in the future, condominiums. You know, there's plans for a performing arts center on the south side of Fountain Park. So the commitment was not just to the park. The commitment was to that area of downtown blossoming into a new center of activity in downtown Rock Hill, with hotels and restaurants, arts, residential. So only the first parts of that plan have been realized at this point. So there's still a lot to come.
And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, as Stephen knows, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. The magical way it's done is going to be chanted out loud at the count of three. Are we ready, guys? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Everybody knows. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Are you looking to relax, spend time with the family, or cruise the open road with your new motorcycle to get away? Founders Federal Credit Union is offering low interest rates on recreational vehicle loans. Whether you need a boat, jet ski, ATV, camper, or a motorcycle for your next adventure, we can help. Relax, it's time to play. Visit foundersfcu.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Does your business need to operate more efficiently? Whether you're uploading or sharing large data files, using web-based applications, or streaming high-definition video, businesses demand more bandwidth. Comporium's business class internet with speeds up to 1 gig and dedicated Ethernet options can meet any of these needs. Keep your business growing and growing efficiently. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about business class internet options or go online to Comporium.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Stephen Turner is with us, now has a new moniker called Retired Director of the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. He's been with the city for 33 years, and his last day was this past Friday, so he is here actually in shorts, T-shirt, and a sneaker. That's sneakers. You've got two of them, right?
That's right.
We talked a lot about downtown, but as I think we referenced in the first part of the program, the RHEDC operates 100% off of land sales, and those land sales come primarily from business parks that the RHEDC has been largely responsible for creating over all these last 30 years. The very first business park was what?
Airport Industrial Park.
Airport Industrial Park. And I don't really have a good working knowledge on that one, but was that a tough sale to get started? I mean, for the city to get into the industrial park business?
Well, that was right when I started with the city. I mean, this was coming out of a time where textile mills were shutting down left and right, and textile jobs were going away, and unemployment was very high in the city. And the city really didn't have a very bright economic future. And so I don't think it was a very tough sell to the idea that the city needed to be making investments to ensure its economic future. I do think at that point in time, it was a challenge to find the resources to do something like that. And so we were fortunate to be able to get some federal grants. The city had land adjacent to the Rock Hill Airport that wasn't needed for airport purposes in the future, so it could carve that land off of the airport and turn it into a business park. So it was a project that was able to be done, again, using land that the city already owned, using a lot of federal money that the city was able to do, given the financial limitations that existed at that point in time. But it sort of set the stage for what followed, and that's, you know, Tech Park and Southway Industrial Park and Waterford Business Park and, you know, a number of other business parks that RHEDC has been involved in.
And the model kept changing on these parks in terms of 100% city participation until we got to a project like Antrim Business Park, which was a private-public partnership, which was interesting.
Well, for many years, once we started, I mean, the city had an intense need to be attracting jobs and businesses to the community. And to do that, we needed business sites that could attract those businesses. Developers looked at Rock Hill back in the 80s and 90s and said, this is not a place where we want to put our money. It's too risky. There's not enough track record of businesses locating in this community to make a business park investment a worthwhile investment for a private developer. And so for many years, it was the city and RHEDC working together that we had to do everything. We had to acquire the land. We had to develop the plans. We had to find the financing. We had to do everything. Market the business park, manage the business parks. You know, by the late 1990s, going into 2000, that had changed. Rock Hill had a track record at that point, and the economy was strong enough that private developers began to see the opportunities in Rock Hill. And at that point, RHEDC's strategy for business parks shifted to one of becoming a partner with private developers so that we could, you know, knock down hurdles for them, help them be successful, help them attract businesses to Rock Hill so they'd want to continue doing those kind of investments here. And it was a big change because we didn't have to do everything like we had once done. The building the parks, managing the parks, building buildings was something that private developers do now, that RHEDC can simply partner with those private developers. But we don't have to do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, it's made a big, big, big difference. And, you know, I think I was remiss in not mentioning way back in the early 80s when all the economy was upside down and Rock Hill was not looking very good. There was a lot of wisdom by those who were in leadership positions at that time to create the RHEDC, that they needed something that could work kind of side by side but not be fiscally part of the city of Rock Hill to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that was a really smart decision that was made back in the early 1980s. RHEDC really is a marriage of private business leadership with the city's goals and resources. I don't think that the economic development efforts in Rock Hill could have been as successful if they had been strictly led by the city council. City council is political. Political winds change. You cannot, I mean, just like we've talked about, it's taken 20 years to get the bleachery done. These business parks take years and years. Elected officials just don't work on projects that take 8 or 10 or 15 years to materialize. Those are time frames. Elections come up. Things change. They don't have the long-term perspective to hang on to projects that long. The private business leadership has that kind of longer-term perspective. And it is the private sector leadership that I think has created the opportunity for making long-term investments, for keeping city council as a partner and keeping them working on these longer-term projects and not panicking because it's taking too long to get things done.
Well, Stephen Turner, we could take an hour on this program. Thank you for all that you've done for the city. I personally have enjoyed working with you for probably 25 of those 33 years. It's been a great run. And your commitment to this downtown area and to this community is just exceptional. Thank you for all that you've done.
Well, thank you, and thank you, really thank you for WRHI, but also thank you personally because you've been past chair of RHEDC and continue to support RHEDC, and so it's been a great effort.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. People take off their masks to tell you how we do it here. And at the count of three, we're all going to battle it out together. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Well done. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.